Welcome to episode 124 of the Golf Talk Podcast, brought to you by thesandtrap.com. Eric here, Alan there.
Yep.
As always, Tiger Woods wins!
Yay, Tiger!
A skins game with Noda Begay.
Boo, oh, never mind.
Boo Noda. No, it was a good cause for Noda Begay, but it was at the site of the Turning Stone dealio. Noda Begay, being an Indian and a friend of Tiger Woods. Tiger played one on the last. Camilo Villegas was actually winning until Tiger Woods won the last hole. So
yeah, good cause, and looks like Tiger had some fun and was able to win something.
He was able to win something. He made a putt, unlike exactly like Heath Slocum and unlike himself on Sunday at the Barclays at Liberty National. Heath Slocum gets it done on the weekend, making a 21-foot putt on the last hole to eliminate none other than Tiger Woods, Ernie Els, Patrick Harrington, and Steve Stricker from a playoff at -8, Slocum finishing at -9.
Yeah, that would have been one definite epic playoff scenario if that would have taken place. But Tiger, yeah, just uncharacteristic on the greens again. Of course, it was the greens' fault.
Of course.
And
he was the only one that had to putt on those greens. So he was the only one that couldn't make a putt.
I think the other guys were at Westchester or something. But
yeah.
Yeah, Slocum, boy, he's staying over that putt on the last hole, and you're like, now watch him make it. And then, of course, he does. And then
well, you were thinking the same thing when Tiger Woods was standing over his putt. Not been the greatest month of putting.
No, it hasn't. And the stat of him knocking in 90+% of putts under 10 feet doesn't really help.
The stat of making everything inside of 3 feet, that one went by the wayside, too.
Yes, yeah, so it's been a good year for stat killers for Tiger Woods.
Indeed. He's even hitting more fairways than he used to.
Yes, up from a lovely 10-something to 93, I believe. So kudos to him. Find a few more fairways.
He's Slocum, though, jumping from next to last, 124th in the FedEx Cup standings, to third. Tiger and Steve Stricker were 1 and 2. Since they tied each other, they stay 1 and 2, just ahead of Slocum. Is this what you wanted, or is that too much?
I think that's a little too much. To get a guy that barely makes it into the tournament to jump all the way up to third place, I guess if you have another couple guys that do the same thing, or let's say Tiger and Steve Stricker win, this guy's, you know, gimme to be a top five at the Tour Championship. I don't know, I think it's just a little bit too much. It's just too quirky. To go from 124th up to third, but.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not buying into the math doesn't work out either, but, you know, there's a lot of people that, if they win, can bump him out of the top five. And, you know, some of the guys just beneath him just have to finish second, third, fourth, and then he could be out of the top 10. But certainly out of the top five, mathematically, it could fairly easily happen. You have to get the right players finishing in the right spots, but that could happen. But I'm with you, maybe a little too much, but at the same time, I don't know. You know what? If Heath Slocum ends up winning the Tour Championship, and then the FedEx Cup, it doesn't take away from Tiger's 5 wins for the year or whatever he ends up at. It doesn't take away from a lot of stuff. It, you know, people will still know who was the best golfer that year. It's just, hey, he got hot at the right time and whatever. You know, I don't think we'll see that happen, but it could, and that's what people were asking for last year, so they got it. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just bizarre. I don't know.
You can't tweak this thing every year. People are just going to be like, whatever. They're just trying to rig it so Tiger wins every year or something.
Right. Yeah, I really don't know how they can fix the FedEx Cup, other than maybe having it end before football season starts.
End at the PGA. That can be the final tournament.
That'd be perfect. Silly season after that, and the rest of us can get on with football.
Last year, Danny Lee beat out Tiger Woods' record as the youngest U.S. amateur champion. This year, that record is no more. Byung Hun Ahn, now 17, wins the U.S. amateur tournament.
Yeah, it's every year now. So next year will be a 16-year-old and then a 15-year-old. And yeah.
We're turning into women's tennis all of a sudden.
Apparently so. Kind of bizarre, but yeah, kudos to him. He beat out Ben Martin 7 and 5.
One was 9 over through 31 holes, the other was 15 over. Some people were complaining about that, but you know, it's the end of a long grueling week, and you're playing against your competitor, so you know, if he's lying 4 somewhere, you don't need to hit your second shot right at the pin. So
right, yep. And
he'll be playing in the Masters, both of them will.
Yep, should be fun to see you know, what this does. Does this propel him to greater things? Hard to say. We've been wondering about Danny Lee now as the next big thing. And
see, the U.S. amateur, since Tiger won, has been less of a predictor for success than anything else, really. You know, it's not predicted much since then. You know, name the U.S. amateur winners since Tiger Woods and tell me what they've done. Good luck.
That was my response.
Yeah. Before Tiger Woods, I think it mattered. The list of winners before Tiger Woods and right up through Tiger Woods, they tended to have at least reasonable success on the PGA Tour. Since then, not so much.
No.
Of course, that could also be because Tiger is now on the PGA Tour and making it tougher for those kind of guys to come out.
Yeah, it certainly is. I guess, what does this say about, you know, a men's American men's collegiate golf with, you know, the winner of the U.S. amateur lately have been 17-year-old South Koreans.
It could be that even men's collegiate golf is moving away from match play. Match play is becoming a bit of a specialty thing, I think, and colleges play stroke play tournaments these days, and the mindset is very different for stroke play, and I'm not sure the art of match play may be lost to current generation of college golfers.
That could very well be. There isn't, you know, very few match play events, and other than the Ryder's Cup and the President's Cup.
And the WGC event, one of them.
Yeah, that's...
That's it, yep.
Not a lot of opportunity.
We'll be back with our forum topic of the week after this.
On a scorecard, all shots are created equal. A stroke is a stroke.
From the first tee...
to the 18th green.
There's only one piece of equipment.
I use for every one of them. My golf ball.
My golf ball.
And in a game where just one shot can decide a championship...
The ball you play makes a difference.
And that's why there's only one ball.
There's only one ball.
One ball I'd ever play.
Performance counts. Quality counts. Every shot counts. Titleist, the number one ball in golf.
Our forum topic of the week is brought to us by BlueNoser67, who is complaining that this is the year of the history killers. I won't read his whole forum post, as you can do it, and then proceed to throw out your opinion. But yeah, probably I would describe as a really nice wine to this year. This is my opinion.
Do you become a blue noser by sucking up to a Smurf?
I don't know. That could be. But anyway, this is an entertaining thread, and we've already got my handicap is bigger than your handicap going off. So I don't know. I mean, has it been an interesting year of golf? Sure. You know, year of the history killers. You know what? If Tiger Woods putts, maybe he plays a little bit better and this guy can have whatever it is he wants.
I think it's been the year of the second place finishers, though.
Yeah, you could probably say that. I mean, that's a pretty big name of guys who have come in second.
Well, we had Kenny Perry's story at the Masters. We had Tom Watson at the British Open, of course. We had Phil Mickelson and David Duval at the US Open, and Tiger Woods at the PGA. So you could also say it's been the year of the bland winner, as much as I like Stuart Sink and don't want to throw him in that kettle, and as much as we kind of got to learn a little bit more about Lucas Glover, with the non-golfing fans, the general public that occasionally watches golf, it's been the year of the bland winner.
Oh, yeah. Well, if it's not Tiger, though, then they could care less. Phil, close second. Yeah.
Tom Watson made some news, though, too. People knew Tom Watson. Yeah. Contribute your own thoughts to that thread, and we'll be back with our beating ball segment.
In this game, you never hit the same shot twice.
You have to be totally prepared
for whatever the course gives you.
I practice shots
most people don't even think of.
Out here, if you want to win, you can't take anything for granted. You
can't take anything for granted. Especially
your golf ball. Especially your golf ball.
Performance counts. Quality counts. Every shot counts. Titleist, the number one ball in golf.
Leading off our beating ball segment, how much would it cost you if you had an extra club in your bag? Well, let's ask Jim Furyk. $131,000. Let's ask Fluff. 10% of that.
Fluff might have paid a little more than 10% of that.
Jim Furyk starts off the third round of the Barclays with an extra 60-degree wedge. Fluff didn't take it out. Quote-unquote miscommunication. And Furyk's wallet's a little lighter, and so is Fluff's.
Yeah, the groove rule may have already cost Jim Furyk $131,000.
I don't know.
Count your clubs. People.
It's entertaining, and it can happen to the pros. Although I don't recall seeing Jim Furyk fling his wedge a la Ian Woosman.
Yeah, he's not even easy. I was going to make an easy Ian Woosman caddy joke.
You can joke about this next one. Rookie MJ here wins the Safeway Classic in a playoff and hoists probably the largest trophy in the history of trophy making.
It's bigger than she is.
Yeah. I think this trophy, it's unbelievable.
If she's ever homeless, she can, I don't think she gets to keep that one, because that looks like the official one with all the names on it and stuff, but for at least a year, she loses her home, she can move into the trophy.
Yeah, no kidding. My goodness. Thank you. It has a garage and basement and the whole nine yards, but...
This was like one of those dumb Champions Tour, like, LPGA events where it's three rounds, which I can't figure out. Why do that? These are 22-year-old women. They can walk four rounds.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think 54 holes is a little fluky. The longer a tournament goes on, the more likely you are to identify the best golfer.
Yes.
I'm just saying that because a certain person finished tied for fourth.
Yeah, definitely a springboard for a Miss Michelle Wee, who finishes tied fourth, throws up a nice 66 in round three, and who knows what would have happened if there would have been round four, but I guess we'll never know.
Yeah, credit to MJ Hoorer however you say her name, but Suzanne Pedersen gagged the crap out of the 15th hole and making a double bogey on a par 5 where she had a wedge in. Took 4 strokes. Well, she'd only hit 2 to that point. She took 5 strokes counting her wedge shot to get down from about 100 yards. Suzanne Pedersen should have walked away with this tournament and instead choked it away. Whatever. Little Solheim Cup letdown for her, perhaps. Jack Nicklaus has said he would never be a ceremonial golfer. Guess he lied.
Jack, here's your foot. Foot, Jack. Whatever.
Yeah. That's why you shouldn't say things like that.
Never throw the word never in front of things that you don't mean. It's a good thing. I think he's going to have a tee time back at Augusta. He'll join, Arnie as the honorary starter for next year's Masters. It's only a good thing for golf to have them both there. So that's great. I think, Arnie and Jack and, CBS will be able to milk this for all it's worth.
If he gets a good drive, I wonder, if that someone's going to have to hold him and pull him back and tell him he can't, decide to go play then.
That could be a potential for that.
It's on the first hole though, so he probably won't even get within 50 yards of the top of the hill, so.
That's alright. He'll be there.
Then again, neither does Mike Weir or half the rest of the field.
2/3 of the field can't make to the top of the hill anymore, so he'll fit in perfectly.
Yeah, that does it for episode 124 of the Golf Talk podcast brought to you by thesandtrap.com. Next week, TPC of Boston. Maybe Tiger Woods will have as someone put it, a red ass about, he's familiar with this course at least, and Cog Hill's been redesigned, but he's at least somewhat familiar with that too.
Well, he'll know where the putts break, so that'll help him.
If he wins the next 2 weeks, he's pretty much guaranteed to win the FedEx Cup, because there'd only be, I think, 4 guys. Okay, bye-bye.
Toodles.